I can say a lot more about sort of WALL-E and artificial intelligence, or I can say stuff about machine participation.
You know, it's really up to you. You know, you were the one that really wanted to drive this idea of talking about this film and saying that you thought it was really, really good. And, you know, so you've got some rational for it, right? I mean, it is good. We all know that. But it is interesting because, like you say, you have this sort of robot that is never completely humanized. That seemed to me like that was going to be the more interesting thing you were going to try to say, is you were going to try to keep him in the realm of being, you know, a robot.
Right. So one other movie really does this, right? So the antithesis of this movie is Bicentennial Man, right, where it's the robot that wants to become human and sort of... Have you seen that with fucking Robin Williams?
I've seen parts of it and stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Probably like another bad Asimov adaptation.
You know, it's been years since I've seen it, and I don't remember how bad it is, but I remember not liking it very much when I saw it. Just because Robin Williams can be kind of grating.
Yeah. I get you.
Right, but Bicentennial is just an Asimov thing where the robot sort of has a series of surgeries over 200 years to become a human, right, and finally replaces its heart or something sort of sappy and sentimental like that.
So that it can, you know, have a clock and tick down and die, right?
Right.
That's the whole gimmick. That's
right.
The last thing it can do to make it more human, yeah.
Right. The only real movie that ever does this sort of same let the robot be a robot theme is AI. AI does this really, really well. And that doesn't mean that it's a good movie. It's sort of a boring movie. It's not the movie that it could have been. But the theme of the movie is precisely this, right? You have Haley Joel Osment, who is a robot and stays a robot for its entire fucking career.
It seemed to me like the big tragedy with that film, not like in terms of the production or anything, but with the story, is, and the sort of criticism there is, it had to do with human responsibility to robots almost like pets, because she basically, the mother gets the kid, gets the robot,
right?
Because her son's terminally ill or whatever, and then they put a programming into him that can't be overwritten that says you're going to forever love, you know, the mother,
right?
And then when the son all of a sudden does come around, then she's like, I'm going to shit can you. She leaves. She literally, just like people do with the dog or something, she drives him into the woods and kind of like, you know, goes, okay, go out there and play, and then drives off.
Right.
I mean, it's no more like explicit than that. I mean, I live out in the woods, and half of our pets have been that. They've been animals that people, that assholes have just dumped off at the road, and then they come up here, you know, all barking and meowing and whatever, and it's like, okay, now I guess we take care of you. But in this case, the artificial intelligent creature can, you know, still has its goal to go find its mother that it loves, and that's sort of the weird, disturbing part. Is it kind of makes you think, well, you know, all this, these projects or these objects, when you give them artificial intelligence and when you can create sort of effective emotions for them and everything, it really makes them a lot more sympathetic. And the tragedy in that is that the robot can never get outside of that programming, you know.
Well,
it never gets that, it never escapes from that, you know.
Well, so it's not clear that there's a tragedy in this movie. So my claim here is that what the movie was trying to do was make a robot sympathetic without making you think of it as a human being. Right, you never in AI do you ever think of Haley Joel Osment as a human being, right? It's always right in the beginning when they're first getting to know him. He's very creepy and sort of just standing there in a very creepy way. And by the end, like you have, there's no pretense that this is a person, right? This is a little robot. But nevertheless, it's sympathetic. Nevertheless, you sympathize with the character.
Sure. To the point where you almost wish that it could just snap out of this desire for this terrible mother that abandoned it, you know?
Right, or you just wish it would like die or something, right? I mean, part of his journey is just to show the human treatment of robots, right? And then it fucking freezes in the ocean, and then the advanced robots from the future come down and right.
Yeah.
But there's that one scene with what's that fucking band? With the fucking
Ministry.
Ministry.
Yeah, with the robot carnival where they bring them all out and they rip them apart, and it's all the bloodlust and all that nifty stuff, right?
Right. So I've often struggled. Let me ask you this question. I've often struggled with the question: is something unethical going on here?
Oh, the whole, and it's in the Animatrix too. The whole idea of can I take a sledgehammer to my horror bot when I'm sick of her, that kind of thing.
Right. So what do you think, Ian?
Well, I mean, I think an AI, I think that the pet idea, the idea of these things as pets,
right,
is very, very ingrained in that. I mean, especially just the fact that she dumps the kid off. Now, maybe it's just me, and I mean, like I said, my history with that sort of thing happening, it sets me off. To me, it's almost analogous to. I mean, obviously, a pet is a living creature, and these things are an artificial machine. But they're given all of the, in their artificiality, they're given all of these hopes and dreams. And the Jude Law character is a little more interesting, I guess, than the Haley Joel Osment character, because he seems to have kind of a scheme,
right.
And he's kind of a he's like I don't know.
He's Gigolo Joe.
Yeah, yeah. People that have those kinds of approaches to things are just. Especially as a robot, you know, it's such a weird kind of like flighty, non-routine kind of scenario. There's a practical concern for things, but then there's also a, you know, like I guess human ethical concern. So it's a question of whether or not legally something is okay versus not. I mean, I guess there are legal statutes against cruelty to animals. So in the same way that they would justify those, you know, where you can't take a sledgehammer to your, you know, your chihuahua, you probably shouldn't be able to take a sledgehammer to your artificial human being.
Right. So, a couple of different things. The vast majority of the bots at the robot carnival were just, like, service bots, right? They were just, you know, the bot that held the TV or whatever, right? Most of them were just sort of servants. Haley Joel Osment was supposed to be unique, right? They didn't make very many of them. It was the first one that the lady got.
Top of the line.
Right, top of the line. Most people didn't have robots as pets. Maybe Haley Joel Osment was meant to be a pet, but most people didn't. Except in these sort of cities where there's like Gigolo Joe operating, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, any of the robots that had an artificiality, and I seem to remember there being quite a few in that cage that had... You know, they were anthropomorphic. You know,
right.
They had human faces, and they had human concerns and interaction, and they were genuinely terrified that they were there, and they were about to be, you know, torn asunder or whatnot. So, I mean, maybe some of them were service bots, but they were created to, you know, they were given all of these other traits that I guess go above and beyond just service, and also get into, like you said, companionship and whatnot.
Right. So you think ethical treatment of robots is akin to ethical treatment of animals?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense that I really don't know if I'm going to live long enough to have to deal with the ridiculous kind of shit where the ACLU gets behind the robots on some issue, and it's all about, you know, people marrying robots and whatever other kind of crap, you know, who knows? It could go that ridiculous. I mean, if it's cyborgs, it's different.
Does the ACLU deal with animal rights? I'm not sure.
Well, there's PETA, but that's not the ACLU. I just meant, like, you know, if you really extrapolate this thing all the way out there to the point where you do have artificial intelligence that's in a real-world scenario at the level of something like an AI,
right.
Then you have to wonder what kind of hair... Are they going to get to vote? You know, are they going to get to participate?
No, leave all those questions aside. I think the legal issue for the longest time will just extend to property rights. Right? You can't hit my robot with a bat because I own that robot and it's my property. Just the same way you can't hit my car with a bat. Right?
No. That goes without saying. That's true now. You know, you can't throw my iPod on the ground, you know.
Right. So let's say that's the only legal concern. But I'm worried about the specifically ethical concern. Are they doing something wrong? So what grounds are ethical concern for the cruelty to animals? Why shouldn't we be cruel to animals?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the basic because cruelty is bad for society kind of thing.
Right.
Cruelty, because it manifests into a slippery slope. I mean, you know, the serial killer as an 8-year-old was smashing bullfrogs between two bricks, and now he's, you know, doing that with prostitutes or something. If people are getting off on seeing these things that are so anthropomorphic and so humanistic and designed to be like humans, if they get off on that, then, I mean, at some point they're going to run out of those and then be like, you know, the line begins to blur. That's my take on that.
I mean, well, we already do that with humans. Have you been watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
I saw like 10 seconds of it. I used to really enjoy, back when there was like maybe a total of 5 shows or less on the entire television spectrum of that kind of hyper-ironic, ridiculous reality garbage, laughing at stupid people being stupid. But I am almost completely 100% done with it. And I can tolerate maybe about 20 minutes of it a week at this point. And I kind of flip by because I just have, there's no
room for me in that mood. Yeah. It's terrible. But,
it's awful, yeah.
But we do it to humans already. I mean...
Oh, yeah, no, I know. There's a degree in which...
But so let's do it.
We haven't gotten back to the Colosseum yet. You know, we're not throwing the Christians to the lions just yet, you know. Maybe in term 2, I don't know.
No, we're close enough. But this is a little bit of philosophy. So there's 2 ways of thinking about this, right? One way is to say the way that you did, which is for our benefit, we shouldn't allow this because it reflects badly on us or it makes us think bad things, right? So there's nothing.
Well, it's a societal thing. I mean, if you're talking about. You can talk about ethics in 2 ways because obviously you're already distinguishing it between legality. You know, there's that which is. You know, made illegal, and then there is that which is considered unethical, and a lot of times they're pretty much the same, but occasionally there's sort of there's a difference, there's a discrepancy. Well, and so, yeah, it's practical concerns for what makes the society work right. If everyone is a liar, it's not necessarily illegal to lie. It is under, you know, oath and all of that, those sorts of ways. But
you can't break a contract.
But in the cases where it's not illegal to lie, but it's not necessarily the best thing in the world for, you know, a society to function properly if everyone is shifty and you can't trust anybody in any sense, you know?
Right.
So that's my take on the whole thing with the robot cruelty for being unethical because it just is not beneficial to the society. It doesn't improve the quality of life for any of the people.
Is that how you look at murder also? That murders is wrong because it wouldn't help society if people were murderers?
Yeah, and it's the same way that for the most part, as you know, barbaric as it sounds, I'm pretty much, well, pro-death penalty because it's like, you know, it's cheaper for the society. It's less of a burden on the society to take somebody out and then just not have to deal with the cost of maintaining their life than it is to incur the entire cost of their living for another 40, 50, however many years.
Well,
you know, giving them flu shots and so on and so forth.
Well, I mean, leave the death penalty aside. So maybe the death penalty is okay if there's good reason to kill someone. But murder is sort of unjust killing, right? And so, I mean,
there's a legal term and everything else. You can get into the whole
murder is killing where it's not warranted. So maybe death penalty cases are cases where it is warranted, right? But murder is wrong because murder is unwarranted killing, right? There's no reason for this person to die, and you kill him anyway, right? Mm-hmm. You're holding up a bank or something, and you kill an innocent bystander, right? This is murder, right?
You're increasing the chaos in the society, basically. You're increasing the inability to predict how things can work and the inability for people to be able to function properly.
So it's only wrong because it hurts society, right? So the other view on this, is that it's wrong because killing's wrong. You shouldn't kill people, right?
Well, that's great. We could do that too. I could say that, and then I could come up with a justification if I were pushed. I mean, you can always just say because it's bad. And then, what is that? That's the Terminator 2 excuse, right?
How's that?
Well, he's just like, why? And he's like, you just can't, okay? Why? You just can't. I mean, I don't know. That seems like you can do that with a lot of stuff, you know? Like, you can argue religion with people, and they're like, well, it's just I have faith.
No,
okay, there you go.
not as a matter of faith, but It's wrong not because it hurts society, but because you've done an injustice to that person, right? Or there's something wrong with the act of killing itself. Not just because of its later effects, but because of the act itself.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. Society could apply to the individual in my definition.
Right, that's...
And be that's, like, yeah, it, it, it's shit to the family, it's shit to the brother, to the wife, to the kids, to the, anybody that is affected, you know? It goes from small to big. You can look at it macro or micro in terms of killing.
Well,
and yeah, it has great effects that make it wrong.
So let me get back to animals. So you might think cruelty to animals is wrong because you shouldn't cause pain in animals. You shouldn't cause unnecessary suffering, right? Suffering, mm-hmm. suffering is bad. You shouldn't cause unnecessary suffering, right? And that's not a justification that appeals to societal effects. It's not bad because it makes society a worse place. It's bad because it causes pain and suffering in that animal, right?
Yeah, if it's undue pain and suffering, you know, I mean, if you take out a cow and right quick, then I get to have a hamburger, and that seems to help the society work a little better. So you're right, there is kind of an odd, you know, cruelty versus functionality.
Wait. I'm not trying to argue about anything yet. I just want to clarify these two sort of ways of looking at ethics, right? One is that it's good or bad in itself, and one is that it's good or bad for what it causes, right? And mm-hmm. so you're appealing to what it causes for society as a whole. Or maybe some limited subset of society for that family or something, right? And that's one way of looking at ethics. The other way is looking at it as bad in itself, right? There's something wrong about causing suffering, even if there's no right. Even if you're, Robinson Crusoe on his island, if it's him and a monkey, and he decides to torture that monkey for 20 years, there's no greater societal effects. So it's okay to torture that monkey. But if you were in...
Bad for his psychology. It's bad for his society of one.
So it's bad for what it does to him?
Yeah, and I consider that part of the society. I mean, you know, I guess I'm being very fast and loose with my definition of society.
No, that's fine.
So you could fault me there.
That's fine. The whole point of my project here is to be fast and loose with the notion of society.
Good.
So it's bad for his psychology, and so you think the robot carnival scene in AI is bad because of what it reflects on the people, that their sort of bloodlust is taken out in this way or something. But there's nothing intrinsically wrong with slaughtering a bunch of robots. If it wasn't
you already give it you ask a question with certain words and then you create a conclusion. You're talking about slaughtering robots. Now, slaughtering is different than, you know, it's different than terminating. It's different than turning off. It's different than taking them to the dump. I mean, I presume that you would be able to take down the protocols and shut a robot down much in the same way that in 2001, I don't necessarily consider that a murdering of Hal. He just kind of deactivates him piece by piece, you know?
Oh, they totally murder Hal. How can you say that?
They turn him off.
Yeah, they turn him off. They kill him.
They turn him off one element
by
the next.
He has a death song.
He has a death song and everything. But it's there's no suffering really involved in that. He's just kind of like, what? You know, it's almost like he falls asleep. He literally sounds like someone when they're falling asleep. If you're ever sitting...
Sort of. He also goes crazy.
As they're about to fall asleep. Yeah, because your brain, parts of your brain shut down at different points. So it's a comparable to a death, but it's euthanasia. They euthanize Hal if you want. And so that would be what you would do with these robots that, I mean, you know, were burned out, broken technology that had no use, I guess. You would turn them off and then you would take their parts and use them as scrap to recycle and build new robots that were useful for the society. That would be the appropriate ethical way to deal with a situation like that. Now, to take a bunch when they're fully aware and they've got sensory functions on their skin or whatever else, and then drag them around with motorcycles and everything while a bunch of people screamed and yelled, that's not ethical.
So do you think it's the same way with humans?
Well, yeah, I have no real problem with euthanasia because I'm a pretty libertarian guy. I mean, if someone decides that they're on their way out and that's what they want to do. But, I mean, there's always the case of sound mind versus coercion. And I mean, a lot of shit can get into that, you know. Did the wife just talk her 80-year-old husband into taking himself out so that way she'd make sure she got all the money in the will and all that crap? But leaving all that aside, I have no real problem with that.
I need to get beer number 3 in 1 second.
Okay.